Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next on our agenda is roll call. And everybody's here except for Gina. She called in and said that she was sick, so she will not make it tonight. And after that is...
We need to take a vote on that. We need to take a vote on that.
Oh, yes. Do I hear a motion to accept Gina's absence tonight? Jack, Charles first, Dan second. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? And that passes. Okay, citizen input is next on the agenda. If you'd like to address the council on council business, you can address the council as a whole body. We'll allow up to 5 minutes. And when you come up to the mic, give us your name and address. And I'll call on you. Who would like to address the council? Sean? Well, I called on Sean. Hold on. We called on Sean, so... Sean, you coming or not? Yes, no? Okay.
For the record, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street in Othello. And before I get to my prepared notes, there's an awful big hum on the earphone that Mr. Crozier's been issued. And it is bleeding into the sound of the microphones up here on the dais. Three things I want to address tonight. First, I want to ask the council consider reinstituting a tradition that was from the 80s, back when Ted Mescott was mayor, and to consider a resolution to posthumously recognize various citizens for contributions to the community. Tonight I'd like to ask council to posthumously recognize Walter Bentley for his contributions to the civic consciousness of Othello, for his various contributions relative to the Othello City Council and School District, and for his example of implementing solar-powered vehicles for municipal transportation. Second, I have not received any response from the city relative to my question last time council met as to whether the more than $660,000 which was misspent on things other than the street program over the course of the last half decade is theft and illegal conversion of public funds. After more than 7 days time to respond as prescribed by law and my subsequent letter in last week's Othello Outlook newspaper, which reiterated my question, I'm left to assume that council agrees that to spend dollars contrary to the law is indeed a theft and illegal conversion of public funds. Third, based on this assumption, I want to know whether council is ready tonight to do a vote of no confidence in the city administrator. I'm asking council to go on record as to who among you holds fraud of competence as beneath the standard for employment at the city of Othello and is willing to discipline employees who have acted beyond the scope of their authority and who do not meet the minimum standard of their employment. Thank you.
Thank you, Crozier.
Mr. Mayor, council members, my name is Michael Crozier and I live at 625 11th Avenue North. My driveway is all busted up because a water line was put in defectively. It was backfilled and then not compacted properly. Why does Councilman Kaler get to use his position to get Public Works defective designs and construction?
Mr. Crozier, you address the whole council, not individual council members, okay?
Excuse me, I'm not addressing Mr. Kaler. I am asking a question. Mr. Mayor, I am addressing you. I am using the incident of Mr. Kaler's special interest here and showing that there is a disparity of treatment. Okay? Why does Councilman Kaler get to use his position to get Public Works defective designs and construction in my neighborhood not? This driveway has been an eyesore since it was brought to your attention many years ago. We asked you for 20 minutes, myself and my neighbors did, to show you 35 slides and survey measurements that show the upper part of the drive defects of everyone's drive were approximately caused by sloppy construction in the street. You have offered me personally $4,500 to settle this claim and told us we must go through your insurance carrier. We have asked the city several times in writing what the basis of this calculation is and what the offer is, and you've continually refused to answer those letters. There have been several. The solution requires an engineered solution, and your city engineer needs to design a bridge section of the driveway to resolve the soil subsidence underneath it, and he has not. So we ask, why, where the white boys live and have business interests, do we have solutions, and where the Indians live, we do not? Is this another example of the discriminatory policies of your administrator? Why is there a disparity of treatment as there was in the distribution of streetlights? All the other blocks had security streetlights mid-block, except where the Indians live. I expect an answer from you in writing in 10 days, or you'll get greetings from other place and for your further disparities of treatment.
Okay. Anybody else?
Mark, this is where we talk about stopping on the agenda.
Now we'll have, are you here for the parks fees and stuff like that?
Well, I haven't.
Set park fees?
That and I have a 4.2. Just like waivers I'm talking about.
4.2. Your audit. Okay. I see what you're at. If you want to talk about the 2-year audit, go ahead. That won't. Go ahead if you want to come up. We will have a public one on this set parks fee, so okay. Some people like to address the council.
When you do get to item 4.2 on the 2-year audit, I think we can be a little conservative to the point where we're not using our tax dollars for the best value. And when I was on council,
could you get your name and address real quick?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mark Spohr, 420 North 9. When I was on council, I then too recommended going to an alternate year audit. And it's my understanding that the last audit that was brought up as a suggestion that there have been no major findings in the last several years, and you go to a 2-year audit. So I want to strongly endorse that at this point. I think the cost is around $17,000, and I'd rather buy a piece of playground equipment every other year than have an audit, which I think is not necessary and just an overdue of the safety of our monies. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Anybody else? Charles? Or is it Chuck? I'm not sure. Chuck, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kepke. I live at 1245 East Cedar here in Othello. And my concern is, somebody else brought it up to me tonight since I was coming down here, is the entrance up at the Walmart where were the trees along the street that should be on the city right away, I think it is. The exits when you come in and out of Walmart, it's hard to see both directions. Is there something that we can get done about that? And they also say that the sign the city put up there in front of AutoZone obstructs your vision when you come out when you want to turn left. So up there at Walmart, that is a, you know, and it's trees, and I know the city is pushing for beautification of trees in Othello, is what I've been told, so that needs to be addressed up there if you're going to take care of the rest.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? And I'll close the citizen input time. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda? Charles first. Second. Eugene second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. And that passes. Consent agenda, do I hear a motion?
I'll make that motion.
And Johnson first. Second. Mark Snyder seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. And that passes also. Number three, consideration of change of council sound system. Stan?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I don't know what to say. I think I've got egg on my face. When we presented to the council January 14th for the contract for the redoing of our sound system for the council chambers, there was a miscalculation on the total amount, and so I'm asking for a change order. The total budgeted amount was $22,950. The contract that was approved at the last meeting was $19,162.59, which only allowed for two of the over-the-air microphones. For six additional microphones, the amount is $1,777.08 for a total of $20,939.67, still $2,000 below the budgeted amount and $3,000 below the next responsive bid. And I would ask that you approve the change order and make a motion to approve that, and appreciate it.
Is there any questions? No questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the change order, the Sound Solutions Council Chambers Sound System contract in the amount of $1,777.08? And first?
I'll second.
Okay, there's seconded. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, then that passes.
Okay, Mayor, yes, Stan, could you brief the mayor on the construction schedule?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. The construction of the new sound system will begin the week of February 4th and is probably will be done in just 2 to 3 work days, with the deadline being February 13th. But so we will have, in February, we'll have meetings with the new system. So
okay, after, sure, after. Mr. Line up something with Mr. Cruiser until I came here to test the.
Okay,
I will do that. Every call is, but
okay.
Make sure they work.
Yeah. Okay. Just for a point of information, today we went through the system because of this report of the hums. And we came in and spent about a half hour with two of us, and we tested each one of these systems. And I did find a little hum caused by a connection in the back of the mixer, and we corrected that, which took out at least 90% of that hum. So when the new system is put in, we will have that totally corrected.
Good. Good job. Thank you. Okay. Number four, consideration of 2-year audits. I'd like to take a lead on that. Over the past 13 months, we've had some citizens in our community that have got concerned about how the city, I guess, was handling its finances. We heard Sean not too long ago mention it. And of course, everybody's heard the articles, read the articles in the paper and different things like that from them. Over a period of time, the two of them, actually three of them, contacted the state auditors and filed 9 allegations, which is their right. They did it right. That is your right as a citizen. If you feel like your city is not handling or doing things right, you can call the state auditors and file a complaint against your city. And then they also had a meeting with the state auditors before they came to the city, so they should have really understood what was going on in the city before they got here, at least in their view. We have just finished with the state auditors, a 2-week deal back in December, or in November, wasn't it? November, whatever, it's not important, but where they went through all our records for 2 weeks, looked at everything they could, looked at the 9 issues they brought up, and then of course they leave, because then they take all the information and start processing it. So on the city cooperated all the way with them, we were totally transparent, they did anything they wanted, and they complimented us during the interview exit last Thursday about the cooperation of the city that was mentioned during the accident when we did it. And when we're all done in the exit, there was absolutely no findings of any dishonesty or misuse of city funds. There was basically didn't find anything for the whole audit to speak of that the city has to address. So that made me feel good as far as the mayor, and should make the council feel good to know that we went through the audit, there was no findings through the audit process. And And that's good. So that should make our citizens and our government feel good about that. And I'd like to personally compliment and thank the council, the city employees, and our citizens that have been involved in it. You know, for being involved in making this place a better place to live for all of us. And I'm glad it went through so well. And I'm glad there was no findings. And it's funny because when you hear auditor, you think, oh no. But really, it is a training thing for the city. You know, we encourage the auditors to come. We want them to come here, you know, every year if we can. And because they have suggestions. And it makes us a stronger government through their suggestions. Mark sat in and heard those as a council member a long time ago. And, you know, I'm proud of a fellow. It's an excellent place to live, and we have good citizens here. And I would like to highly recommend that we continue the early audit. I feel like it helps us maintain a high level of transparency and financial integrity here in the city of Othello. And also, as we start the discussion now on where we want to go 1 year or 2 years, the auditors ask that we go to a 2 year. Because of our audits being so clean for so long, I don't know, it's 12 or 15 years now, there's been no findings for the city of Othello. And so I'd like to ask the council to continue the 1 year. I know it costs more money, like Mark Spore brought up, but I feel like it's worth it in the long run. It's easier to deal with the issues if the issues were to come up in a 1 year span, instead of trying to remember back 2 years and recreate, you know, whatever happened. So I'd like to open up to council and hear what you have to say.
This year's audit was just a little over $17,000. And I think the state auditors estimated the 2 year one at just over $24,000 in 2 years. I'm leaning on the side of the audit every year still. And I just want to kind of radiate what Mayor Wilson said. It's easier to correct a problem when we have an audit every year than every 2 years. And being on the council, I've been very happy with that. I do see your point, Mark. It would save about $10,000 a year. But potentially, if we did have a problem, it could potentially cost us a lot more than that over time. So I'm still in favor of keeping an audit every year, keeping things open and up front with them.
Yeah, I'm kind of in agreement with what you're saying. I think it's cheap insurance to go ahead and do it every year. Sure, maybe we haven't found any findings, but there always could be that chance that we might have that little quirk that we missed somewhere along the line. And like you say, if you figure $17,000 a year versus $24,000 or $27,000 for a 2 year audit, you know, you're only talking about a half a year difference there. So I think it, insurance wise, I think it's better to have that every year audit. I know it costs a little bit of extra money to do that, but I think it's better in the long run.
So do I hear a motion one way or the other?
We're to maintain one year audit instead of
the
right.
Okay, the first from Dan, we have a second.
Second.
We have a motion as it would maintain a 1 year audit, a yearly audit, instead of a 2 year audit. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. And that passes. So Sean, you should have that question you had on the $660,000 should have just been answered. The auditors had no issues there at all. Just so you know, you brought up the mic here. So as far as that is, they had no issues and that was done. And I'm assuming, I don't know what the questions were, but that was brought by the people that brought the questions, so. Okay, well, that's the next issue. Resolution to set park fees. Molly.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Today we, I come back to you after the January 14th council meeting. You'll remember that we had proposed some changes to some of our facility rental rates, and it was through the advice of the council to take the time to meet with various groups that these fees will directly affect and work with them on the, on facilitating these fees. So with that, we come to you today with the fees that we have agreed upon with the group that these fees will directly affect. So with that, the first set of fees that the Parks and Rec Committee are recommending a change to would be the park shelter fees. That includes the park shelters in Kiwanis Park. We are looking for a $55 for a half day, $110 for a full day. For the tennis court shelter, $30 for a half day, $60 for a full day. For the playground shelter, it'll be $15 for a half day, $30 for a full day. Same thing for the basketball court shelter, $15 for a half day, $30 for a full day. And for the 7th Avenue shelter, it'll be $25 for a half day, $50 for a full day. So these differ from the prices that we had from 2012 in that they are not judged upon the amount of people per party. It's really how we determine these fees as we looked around. We took the area averages, which basically came out to about $6 an hour, and which would have been more than these actually are. But what we did was kind of multiplied, by the amenities that each of these facilities have. So that's how we came up with these numbers, and they're a flat rate no matter how big or small each party is. So that will be nice, and can kind of take the guesswork out of it for the citizens that are looking to reserve these facilities. So we'll continue down to the Lions Park shelters, where the South Picnic shelter will be $25 for a half day, $50 for a full day. The Central Picnic shelter will be $15 for a half day, $30 for a full day. The North Picnic shelter will resemble those fees, $15 for a half day, $30 for a full day, and then $50 for a large picnic shelter, and $100 for a full day. Sorry, $50 for a half day. And then in the Pioneer Park, the gazebo shelter will be $15 for a half day and $30 for a full day. So these fees were reviewed by our Parks and Recreation Committee. We brought together the comparisons of the Association of Washington Cities, their shelter 2012 shelter reservation fees that they put together from each city that they work with in Washington, and also from some of the numbers that I have put together. So these are the fees that we are looking to present to you and to have approved for 2013. Next, we have the Lions.
Before I go on, let me get a section. Second for the
okay.
Citizens to make a comment if they do on this section of the presentation. Thank you, Mom. Is there anybody like to address this part of the presentation they just heard? Okay. All right, go ahead, Molly.
So next we have the field rental rates for the Lions Park Softball Complex and the play fields. These fees were also derived from the Association of Washington Cities. They take a survey of all their cities that they work with, and so we had put together a survey of cities that are like us, kind of same size, and also some that are bigger, what Bellevue has, what Bellingham has. And so what we came to was, rather than having a per hour rate, something like I said that would be easier on the citizens would be a per field per day rate. So just one payment per day, and then they're on their way, except for the practice rate, which is harder to monitor because you're not going to need a field all day for a practice. So with that, for our weekend tournaments, so that is basically any softball tournaments that come in out of town, baseball tournaments, that will be $75 per field per day. For league play, which is Monday through Thursday, sometimes Friday depending on what group you are, but most generally it'd be Monday through Thursday, those will be $30 per field per day. And their practice rate will be $20 per hour per field. Add-on rates with that include, for any tournament and league, there will be an application fee of $150. 50 of this will be refundable. The $50 that is refundable is a damage deposit and will go towards any extra cleanup fees or anything that we might incur in cleaning up those events. So the lights will be $100 per key, 90 of that will be refundable, largely in part because many people know that we are, there are quite a few keys out there, and what we want to do is try to limit that and make sure that we are getting those keys back. They're very expensive to make. So we want to be able to make that something where really it's only a $10 fee, but make it so we are keeping an easier eye on those. And so the keys will be turned in within 5 working days of the last scheduled game or practice. The mounds we just purchased in our capital budget. You might remember that we asked for money to provide portable mounds so we can, I guess, move away from building mounds and, you know, taking the front loader and digging the dirt off and incurring any damage to the facilities. So we have purchased some portable mounds for those fields. Those will be $100 per mound. That's not a per day or per hour fee, just one time for each group that's looking to rent them. And then the fencing, the portable fencing that we had bought will be $75 per field. That was also in our capital expenditure request for this year. And so that will basically be for any tournaments or leagues that want to come in. If they would like a shorter distance of an outfield, we can put those up very easily. It'll just make it easier on our staff. And they're a little more durable and a little more safe. They have caps on them, so if anyone were to run into them, they're not going to cut themselves, or hopefully not. So though that is the second set of rates, we have yet to, we have met with the Little League, and we are still working with them to go over these fees, and so those are in the works as we speak, and which is why they are not coming to council tonight.
Okay. Any comments from the citizens?
Burt Parrish, 940 South Billington. Did I read that right? Was there no Kiwanis Park and youth soccer in any of that?
I don't see it.
Okay. Nothing in the fine print? Nothing.
What's that?
Nothing in the fine print?
This is what it is, what you see right there.
Okay.
Molly, want to come back up then? I have one question. The council gets to address this also. You said practice rate $20 per hour.
Correct.
So is that to reserve that area, or if someone goes out to play, how are you going to handle that, I guess?
Well, in essence, it's to reserve it. Okay. We obviously don't have the staffing to put someone out there to monitor it and make sure everyone is, you know, renting the fields. We would hope that, you know, they do that so they can reserve their spot, and then if there's anyone that would like to, or, you know, if they have an issue, just like with the park shelter, if there's an issue, they can come to us and we can let them know, you know, this has been rented, they've paid their fees. If you'd like to do so, please go ahead and, you know, we have 3 other fields available, and, you know, that's how you reserve your spot. So that will resemble that. It's not all fenced in, you know, we can't keep people out, but, you know, we will do what we can to be able to monitor that.
And that generally applies to specific teams that want to come in and have that field for them. It's not going to be for dad and his son or mom and daughter playing catch out on the field or any of that. We want to make sure that it's not intended specifically for the ones and twos and what have you. There's some other things that nobody's going to chase a kid out of there. That's not the intent. The intent is that if there's a team out there and there's another one that says, hey, well, I have reserved, and they rightfully do, then they're entitled to it. But during the youth season, it's going to, it's kind of a blanket. We're understanding that they're going to have those fields from time school gets out till 7 o'clock when their games are over on those days. So if a team's in there practicing from 3 to 4:30, nobody's going to say, where's your $20 fee?
But if somebody pays a $20 fee from 5 to 7, it's their field.
Providing that it's not already committed to the youth leagues or whatever for the season during those times.
And that will be a stipulation of anyone that does rent the fields, that they have to provide us with their schedule, their start times, their stop times, so that we can monitor that. What we we'll do is basically set up a calendar so we can know what times are available if someone were to ask. That way they're not, you know, spending their money frivolously and not being able to get a field, so. We have one more. Wait, lastly, we have the Othello pool, the Barracuda swim team pool rental. We met with the Barracudas earlier this week, and we came to the agreement to have a $3,000 season use fee for both this year and next year, which is 2013-2014. This was largely in part to kind of lock this fee in because they are expecting a large event here at our pool, and so this was something that we worked with them on to be able to know, so they can know in the future rather than having to worry about it next year. So before this large event comes up, it's something that weight, I guess, lifted off their shoulders. So that is the fee we came to agreement with, and we asked that the council approve these fees for the park shelters, the Lions Park fields, and the Othello Community Pool.
Comments from the citizens? Come on up, or I can't think of your name in the back. I know who you are. Name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Kevin McDonald, 1138 East Elm. And my question is, and I've talked to Molly about this, and it's not here yet, but my question is to the council is about youth soccer and fees, if it's ever going to come up, along with the older soccer, which sometimes, once in a great, great while, uses Lion Park, and then also the adult league that does use Lions Park, when softball or baseball is not taking it over. I'm asking if that's going to come up, and when it does, that we get noticed so we can address our opinion on that. And then the other issue is, and I know it talks about on the softball fees about other groups coming in and using Othello Fields to do tournaments. But my question is do outsiders have priority over community members? Being as such, you know, we that live here, and I'm not part of the adult league anymore for soccer, but when they get kicked out of town for a group out of town coming in because it's cheaper for them to come here, we feel it's a kick in our face when we're paying taxes and we live here. You know, we don't have a problem if Charles or anybody else here puts on a tournament because it's our community putting it on. But when an outsider comes here because they're definitely going to pay less, it's not that we don't encourage outside people coming here, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be having teams out of town being part of our youth league and all that. It's just, we don't want to be put on the back burner to outsiders for our own community property. So, and that, I think, should be addressed as such with softball tournaments, because it's mainly men's softball. And again, I'm going to reiterate, if it's someone from here, because I know Charles puts them on and other people put them on, we have no problem with that. We just don't want to be put to the back burner for somebody out of Tri-Cities or the Sunnyside or whatever to come here and put on a tournament, and then we get kicked out of our own park and get thrown down to the horse pasture. I mean, Tagaris Park, excuse me. So that's my issue. I mean, that's what we're here for, is for our community, and we want to make sure our community is first.
Damon, you want to address that?
Kevin, you asked about youth soccer. It's not on that schedule because discussions haven't taken place yet. Phone calls have been made to establish that. So yes, we'll discuss things with you or whoever else wants to sit down with us.
Right.
And then bring something back to council if there's an agreement. So, or whatever.
So right now it's a waste.
We learned that we are not going to surprise anybody with fees. You are going to be part of the process.
Okay. And we just want to make sure, because
organization is going to be part of the process.
You know, generally speaking, 85%+ of our community is Mexican, and you know, and 99% of them play soccer, and you know, most of them are low income farm labor, and so we try to keep the cost as low as possible. I mean, a lot of them, and especially in the club that I run, almost play for free. You know, point in fact is I took a my team that I was coaching this fall, I had to take two vehicles just to get the kids up there. I mean, and that's where it is, you know. But I'm willing to do it to keep these kids busy and off your streets and not spray painting fences and buildings and breaking windows. I'm willing to help incur that cost, you know, as long as we can help keep the cost down and encourage kids participating. And it doesn't matter what sport, you know. And we're still waiting for our other park.
But find us some ground.
Yeah.
Hey. Hard park.
I can point out a lot of ground. Yeah. There's a lot of ground.
Until we talk to the owners.
Just sign the check.
Hey, Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin, in regards to outside people be coming in and using the facilities before the locals, it's all about scheduling and who gets their time sheets in for what dates. And so the earlier, the better.
I guess my whole thing is our men's adult league, which has, you know, this past year, of course, they had 25 teams, 9 of them which are based out of Othello. This is a league that's been going on for years and years. They you know, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad, but point of fact is they all live here, you know, and they're providing, you know, income for people coming here. There's at least 4 home games every week when they start around Easter, and then when they end around middle of October, you got, you know, 200 plus people coming into town spending their money, you know. And when we have it, especially up here at Lions Park, they're coming into the town, so they're going to spend their money here. A lot of times if they go out there, they're going to, especially if they're Royal City, they're just going to go straight home. They're not going to come into town. So our thing is to try to get them in town as much as possible, you know, whether they spend at McDonald's, Ace, Walmart, whatever. So if we can get them here in town, you know. And personally, of course, this is a city. I mean, you guys take care of the land a lot better. So it's a lot more prestigious to play up here. And yes, it is nice to play under the lights, but that isn't the ultimate. They like the field up here because it's well groomed compared to down there.
But so, anything like Charles said, as soon as you get the schedules, get them as they go.
Right.
When we get them, I assume Molly's going to take care of that. She'll make sure that what's going on, if a tournament's coming in, apply. We can contact you and say, is there something else we can do to help bring a tournament in? You know, then you can say, well, it isn't really going to work. But you can tie up times on the fields that we know we're going to use, and then when
right.
things come up, we can address it. But if we don't have schedules, we don't know what's going on, we may bump you not realizing you're there that day.
Well, and again, I'm speaking for Manuel. He's working right now. He gets the 6 in the evening till 6 in the morning shift, so he couldn't be here. So I'm speaking for him. You know, I'm just getting his opinion out there so you guys understand where he's at, you know. And I'll bring this back to him. Get your schedules out tomorrow to the city so they know.
It is. And I put my schedules in just like everybody else.
Right.
I think I put mine in November, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm lucky enough with our youth that I do recreational-wise, you know, recreational select with the older ones that the school district has been so generous to allow us to use their school fields, of course, after they're done, you know. And we make sure that we take care of it, we don't practice on it, so it's taken care of and stuff like that, you know. And that's the whole key. I mean, taking care of your facilities and being able to use them. Now we just need more of them.
Yeah, we agree so, with you.
All right,
we're
thank you.
Trying to work there, and thank you for volunteering, all the volunteers. We appreciate it. So, Mr. Crozier.
You know, and looking at these documents here, it appears that there's been a lot of work going into them, and Molly certainly should be committed to it. But what is the basis for calculation of what these rates are? And doesn't there have to be a basis for those calculations? Because the state constitution says you can't give anything away for free except to a charitable institution, and these guys are nonprofits. So unless you have some basis for calculation, you don't know whether you're charging too much or too little. And if you're charging too little, you're giving it away in violation of the state constitution. So my question is, you know, how did we arrive at these numbers? Because I noticed that the $5,000 number that we had last time we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, which was a rental rate for tennis courts for the school, has disappeared off this.
reason that is not on here is we have not, we're only addressing a couple things at a time.
Yeah, you only, not to be determined, but how do you determine it? That's the question.
Yeah, Molly actually addressed that a little bit ago, that they looked at other cities our size, what they're charging, trying to find an established fee that is an average ground for everybody.
Right.
And that's...
Just because somebody else screws up doesn't mean you got to do it the same way, okay? If they don't have a basis for their calculations and they're in violation of the state constitution, that's their problem. We just, you've been informed of what this is, and Catherine can tell you that you can't give them stuff away for free. And if you're giving stuff away for half price, you're giving value of it away for free that the citizens who paid for this should get in terms of rental rates. So I suggest that you probably adopt a scheme like the calculation of rental rates for equipment are. It's based on their life, based on what you have to invest for upkeep, based on all the rest of this stuff. And not just burden the taxpayers with a rental rate that's half of what it should be because you don't have a basis for calculation. So I would be looking for an explanation as to how this was calculated. Thank you.
Anybody else on this issue here? We're on the pool issue. Okay, Tim? Name and address, please.
Jeff, 1346 First Street. I'm here just support of the rate we came to the conclusion and agreed upon. I think the only thing that I don't know if this is the time to discuss our contract, that if we were planning to sign that tonight, whatever. There was just one piece I'd like part of that, and Terry and I discussed this last year, so it's not a new issue. We just like to make sure that the DOC, we had some moms that were a little nervous because the DOC was, we had some DOC workers doing some of the trim around the pool, and some of our moms were a little nervous to have those guys close to their kids. So that would be one of the things we'd like, and if we could put that in our contract, that DOC won't be trimming around the pool while we're doing pool practice, or what are we doing, swim practice. So just a heads up on that. And I think that's, I just encourage, just like Kevin said, just the communication. I appreciate it being invited to have a discussion for the rates that we were gonna pay. And I know it would have helped a whole lot of stress in my community if we would have had that discussion previous to proposal. So I just encourage that to happen next time.
Thank you. Any comments from council?
Just a couple quick ones on the park shelter fees. Now this is for reservation fees only, if somebody wants to reserve it. So, and how many days in advance does a person have to have reservation fees?
I believe generally speaking that you can rent the shelter as soon as you can if there's not already a shelter reserved for, or that same shelter isn't already reserved. We are amending the rules or the ability to be able to give a refund for those. We weren't able to in the past. So this year, if we do receive a proper amount of notice, that we will be able to return the rate that they have paid for that shelter reservation if they tell us in the appropriate amount of time. But it's up until right when they need it. If they want to come rent it, then they certainly can, as long as it's not rented to someone else. So,
okay. I just wanted the public to be aware that this is for reservation fees only. It's if the shelter's not reserved, and you could always call up here to find out beforehand. And if it's not reserved, the public is welcome to still go use them, and they're not going to have anybody up there knocking on their party to collect fees for them using the shelter.
Correct.
So sometimes how these go over, people will take the situation that it's going to cost them no matter what they do when they go up there to use a park shelter. Just want to make it clear that that ain't the case. It's only for reservations only.
Correct.
To guarantee them the spot on right. Those park shelters.
So if they are looking to have a large group of people or they are set on a day, then it would be in their best interest to reserve it so they can make sure that they are the only party that has access. But, you know, if there's going to be someone there or if there isn't anyone there and they call up and say, but then again, those are open to someone renting them right at that time too. So.
we're into the council section now. Sorry, Tim. Any other council members? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution to change recreational facility rental fees? Charles first.
Second.
Mark second. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now, number six, consideration of prohibiting flyer throwaway newspapers. Catherine?
Over the last couple years, council has received complaints from the community about what I'll term lawn litter, as that's the phrase that has been coined across the nation to speak about the various unsolicited materials that our citizens often find themselves the recipients of, whether you're talking about phone books, advertisements, political campaign flyers, free shoppers, what have you. The typical practice is for those distributors to deposit them on people's driveways, on their front porches, put them in their door handles, what have you. And in response to those citizen complaints, the council had inquired about the city's authority to regulate those activities in its jurisdiction. In looking at that issue, I first off will tell you that your hands are fairly tightly tied in this situation because of the constitutional First Amendment free speech rights that are involved. We have very little regulatory authority. I've provided you with written materials from other jurisdictions just to kind of give you an idea of what types of regulatory tactics have been attempted by other jurisdictions across the nation, ranging from state legislation down to local ordinances, none of which have been upheld in any of the circuit courts or state courts at this stage. And the case closest to home, of course, as you know from the materials I provided, is the Ninth Circuit court case on the Seattle ordinance attempting to regulate the distribution of phone books. Because we are dealing with mixed content, commercial and non-commercial speech, for the most part in all of the flyers that you're talking about, in particular the shoppers and phone books, the city has no ability to regulate those types of activities without facing significant liability. I am not aware of any ordinance that we could craft at this stage, given the current state of the law, that would pass constitutional muster.
How about where they deliver them? Within so many feet of a front door, not just throwing them on a lawn or
several jurisdictions have attempted to regulate through their ordinance how the materials are distributed and then impose penalties in the form of monetary fines if those restrictions are not complied with. And what they have attempted to define in those ordinances, delivery either on the front porch in some sort of newspaper receptacle, on the driveway itself, or on a door hanger type device. And the courts have determined that that is regulatory conduct that would impose additional financial burdens on the distributors because it would dictate to them how they could distribute and would impose a cost factor beyond their control in order to meet those restrictions, and they have struck those down. I would note that the most common effort after looking at your regulatory authority is to contact the distributors of the materials directly in an effort to work out a mutually agreeable solution as to how that material gets distributed. In the Seattle case, for instance, one of the components of their ordinance in response to the public outcry of receiving these unsolicited phone books was to attempt to require DEX distributors to have a list for people to sign up to opt out of receiving the phone books. And the court would not even uphold that as a requirement. So There are certain true commercial advertisements that citizens can restrict of their own volition through signage on their property. That is not a city ordinance. That's done by the homeowner themselves. But it's really up to the distributors to try and work with the citizens and the governing entity to try and find a solution that is agreeable to all sides.
Any further questions from council? I'm assuming we don't have a motion. Okay. Number seven, monthly investment report. Spencer?
Yes.
That was easy.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Every month we go through the month-end status of our cash investments held by the city, and so I just wanted to quickly go over those again with you for the date of December 31, 2012. As you know, we have two different investment accounts. There's the local government investment pool, then we have another portfolio with the Bank of America, and then we have our checking account here locally. I wanted to, because it is at the end of the year, we have kind of a unique chance to look at our investments for the year, and I'm going to bring up this other cash. So I scrolled down quite a ways on this, but you can see the top numbers up there, the local government investment pool balances. We have $4.3 million in that investment portfolio. And I've looked at the value of the investment, if it's gone up or down, and the interest earned for those. And so we can see throughout the year, we've made $8,300 about in income. As a city, we're kind of restricted in what we can do as far as investing. We have to have we're quite restricted. We have to have very secure investments, and along with that comes the we also want to have the availability of cash when we have big projects coming down the pike. And so that's one of the things that restricts the our ability to make bigger incomes off of our investments. And then our other investment with the Bank of America, overall the value of that investment increased about $53,000. It's right towards the very bottom of the screen. And then the grand total, $61,500 for both investments together. If there are any questions?
Questions from council? Okay. Thank you, Spencer. Just don't sit down. Number eight. Yeah. I just need cash and change fund policy.
Thank you very much. As you know, we have various petty cash and change funds around the city, and we have different procedures in place to ensure that those funds are looked after appropriately and that they're used for appropriate purposes. One of the things that we didn't have was a policy that established those procedures, though. So we've put together this policy here, and this policy just kind of closes the circle. It completes the circle. With our change funds, we have processes to each change fund has one custodian. Each change fund is held at a certain amount. They're restricted for purposes. Under 4.0, you can see there are a couple different items there. And these are things that we've done. We just didn't have a policy that officially said this is how we're to guard these funds. Along with what the funds can be used for and who has them, we have processes in place to ensure that they're reconciled. Change funds are reconciled daily, and the petty cash, we just have one of those that's reconciled monthly. It's not used often. And then the very last couple of lines there say the finance officer or designee will conduct periodic counts of all petty cash and change funds to ensure proper management of the funds. And so this is just an extra precaution or something that we can easily do in-house to watch our funds, to make sure that they're being used as they should. So this policy I submit for your consideration.
Any questions? Do I hear a motion to adopt the petty cash and change fund policy? Charles first.
Second.
And Kaler second. Any other questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Number 9, resolution to reestablish petty cash fund.
As I just said, we have various petty cash and change funds around the city. This is the resolution that establishes those amounts and the locations. What this resolution is doing, and it's in the two paragraphs that I scrolled past. You can see those on your computers there. I wanted to focus on the police department line item. It's the very bottom one, police department, $100. Right now, that petty cash, or it's a change fund. Right now, that change fund is established at $50. This resolution is requesting an increase of that petty change fund to $100. And the reason for this is the increased activity over at the police department. They've recently started receipting for dog licenses, and it's been difficult for them to keep up with the change that they need to be able to give customers when they come in and purchase a license. I think they've even had times during the day when they've had to quickly run over to the bank and break some of their bills so they can continue operating for the rest of the day. And so all this resolution would do is increase the police department petty cash from $50 to $100. And so then our total petty cash and change funds for the city would be $1,400. It's important to note that this is not a change to the budget or this isn't an approval of an expense to approve this resolution. It's just merely the police department's ability to break a change, to make change. So I submit this for your review.
Questions? And do I hear a motion to adopt the petty cash and change fund resolution?
I'll make that motion.
Dave, Dan first, Dan Johnson seconds. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay. Spencer, thank you. That
thank
passes.
You.
Okay. Executive session. I'll ask Chief Dennegan and the City Administrator to remain.